LNB's audio diary for the 18th of December 2023. It is a Monday, and it's just about quarter to eight in the morning. I am on my way to the shelter, take care of the bunny and the guinea pig. It is a cold morning, but not as cold as it's been. It's cold and clear, very, very dry lately. We haven't had any precipitation in a while, but we're supposed to get some, Monday? In a, like 2 days, 3 days, something like that. We're supposed to have a high chance of rain or snow. It's going to warm up a bit. So, I don't know. We'll see. But, boy, it's so dry that even though temps get down below freezing every night, there's no frost on the car or anything else because there's no moisture in the air. You know, it is the life in the desert, I guess. Winter in the desert, anyway. But, and that's fine. That speeds things up for me, but it is very dry. All right, so I wanted to talk about the Star Drifter role-playing game and specifically one aspect of it. I'm in the middle of testing the Star Drifter Ultimate Dungeon Terrain. I'll just call it the terrain or dungeon terrain or whatever, but I've talked about it before, so you know what that is. But I want to make sure it actually does what I think it does or can do. So I've been testing it, and I have some random scenarios set up for encounters and fights. Right now, I focus a lot on the combat system in Star Drifter when I'm developing, which is kind of silly because you're not really supposed to fight anybody in Star Drifter. And I don't want people to turn this into a fighting game if they can help it. But if it does come down to fighting, I want it to matter. I want it to mean something. I don't want everything to be, you know, kind of you roll one die and your character's dead type of stuff. I don't like that. I want it to have some sort of meaning without being super, super crunchy in a way. I would consider Paizo's combat system to be pretty crunchy if you're doing the entire thing the way it's laid out in the rule books. I would consider that pretty rules heavy. There are other games that are even more so. Don't get me wrong, I know that, but I would consider that's on the real high end of what I would consider fun, right? Because combat can bog down really, really fast. You know, one combat could take, depending on how many participants there are in the fight, combat could take more than one game session. You know, one set of combat. So that can be a lot. That can be a lot for me. Now, Star Drifter doesn't, I don't consider it to be as rules heavy as that, but there are a lot of optional rules that you can employ that can begin to make a difference, right? So I don't have things like flanking or opportunities of attack or anything like that. None of that exists in Star Drifter. But I do have other things that do, and they can take up time. You know, they can take up a lot of your time. Calculating how many, calculating how much ammo you still have for your firearms is a part of the game if you want it to be. But I found in my testing that I don't want it to be when I'm the only one running, right? Because, for instance, the scenario I set up is I have between 6 and 10 NPCs that 4 of the heroes or the player characters are facing off against under different circumstances. And that's at any one time, right? So I'll talk about that in a second. But the idea is that, you know, when it comes down to the ammo, I'm tracking ammo for all of these characters. Man, that gets tedious. I forget it half the time. I'm tracking time as well, you know, the number of rounds all of this is taking. And it really bogs things down big time, you know, So there are certain rules that really only work if you have enough people that are keeping track of all the ammo, right? Like that work, and I think ammo, keeping track of ammo really matters, and my test proved that it does matter. But it becomes a lot to keep track of at one time if you're the only one doing, if you're doing a solo game, as I am with these tests. So I came up with six or eight, I think it was eight scenarios, possible setups, right? And you know, situations or whatever. You know, so it might be pirates, and if it's pirates, maybe they're attacking you or you're attacking them. It might be a kidnapping where you have to go and get somebody, but you know, it's possible they were kidnapped by thugs, or it's possible it's someone who's in prison and you got to break them out, or jail anyway, you got to break them out. So it's stuff like that, and there are different scenarios that I roll for randomly to find out what's there. I have a series of NPCs that are ready to go, and you roll for the number of them randomly. And there are like tons of other factors that go into it, all right? Now, the idea here is that I'm using the dungeon terrain, right? Not only for the encounter, but the setup for the encounter, how to get there, right? So I rolled some dice last night, and I came up with a scenario where it's a pirate incursion. The pirates are taking over the ship, right? And one of the things that happens under that circumstance is that it's possible that the player characters are just passengers on this ship, and they don't have any of their equipment. They don't have their armor. They don't have their guns. Those are in storage on the cargo bay, right? They're, you know, down in cargo where you stow, like, you know, it's okay to bring that stuff, you know, under certain circumstances, it's okay to bring that stuff, but you can't have it. It's got to be in storage, right? So at the beginning of the situation, I roll for how many rounds it's going to take for the pirates to gain control of the ship. That is, and by gain control, I mean gain control of the central computing system, change all the codes, change all the locks, so that everybody's more or less locked down. They really won't be able to fight these guys in anything like an efficient manner if they don't get to them up on the bridge before that time frame, right? Now, in real life, they, you know, it's meta, they wouldn't really know how much time they have, right? But let's make the assumption that, you know, because one of them has computers, it's kind of their techie guy, and we'll make the assumption that guy's able to look at the computer and say, oh, you know, we don't get them in such and such amount of time, we're not going to be able to stop them. And so now they know there's a clock ticking, how much time they have. And otherwise, you know, it's going to be urgent anyway, because they know that's what the goal would be. So, now, I then roll. Now, remember, I have the different zones, right? I have the different zones in Star Drifter, right? Well, in this case, I didn't go with, you know, I went with the Outer Ring. There's two sets of those, right? Inner Ring, two sets of those, and then the Central Space, right? The, you know, so we have close, near, and far. We have two fars, two nears, and one close, all right? So the idea here is you roll a 10-sided die, 1 to 2, 3 to 4, 5 to, you know, 5 to 6, that sort of thing, to see where you have to get to in the cargo bay, right? This represents the cargo bay. And, you know, these ships are huge, huge. So the distance factor that is built into the dungeon terrain all plays, right? It all means something, right? So I rolled, and it ended up on one of the outer rings, right? One of the far rings. So the rule states that I came up with is you start on the opposite side of wherever that is, right? And if it happened to be in the center, you get to choose which side you want to come in on, but you're always going to be equally distant from it, right? So in this case, it was on the far side. You have to start on the far side of the dungeon terrain of the board and get all the way over there without any weapons, right? They don't have any weapons. I roll a 10-sided die. On a 9 or 10, they just happen to come across a party of pirates, right? Now again, these pirates aren't coming in with hundreds of guys, right? They're coming in with a couple dozen at the most, right? Like two dozen maybe at the most. And the idea is to take control of the ship, and then you extort
information out of them. You know, maybe steal the ship or whatever. But, you know, it's not like they have an army of people who can take over. So there are wandering bands of these guys, but it's not super common that you would run into them on any particular, you know, from round to round. However, remember, on the Outer Ring, it takes 4 rounds to leave a far space, right? So you're rolling 4 times, then another 4, another, you know, there are 2, you know, basically, you're going in a straight line. So there are 2 hexes you have to get through in the far zone, 2 hexes in the near zone. You can run through the close zone all in one go. Then it's 2 hexes in the near zone on the other side, 2 hexes near zone, and then 4 hexes and 4 hexes, and finally you're there. So it's a ton of rolling for encounters, right? It's not super common, but it's a ton of rolling. Would you believe they got to the other side? These were all legit rolls. They got to the other side without ever encountering a group of pirates. Now, if they had encountered them, you know, the player, there are rules for hand-to-hand combat. And some of the player, you know, some of these characters are trained in it, some of them are not, but anybody can give it a go if they need to, right? But they made it all the way to the other side. They weren't wearing any armor either, and in Star Drifter, that's a death sentence in a gunfight, right? But they made it without anybody cottoning on to them, right? So I rolled how many rounds it would take them to get into their armor and get their guns going. I'm checking all of this off, you know, counting the time. So far, so good. Now I roll for where the elevator is that they need to get up to the level where the bridge would be, right? And I roll random dice for that and found out where it is and how far away it was. And it was like 6 hexes away, right? It's 6 hexes away on the far ring, right? So that was actually, it's 6 hexes, but it's actually 24 rolls, right? Because it's 4 rolls, you know, it's 4 rounds to get out of any one of those hexes. So it's, yeah, a lot of rolls. So they move 1 hex and have an encounter. So I had a pirate fight right there. I set up a scenario where they're between 2 huge cargo boxes and there's some junk in the way, right? So they both sides end up with a little bit of cover that they can scramble to, and otherwise they're sort of boxed in. They can retreat, and if they go off the board, they're out of the fight. But other than that, you know, it's a straight up fight, and there is cover. And there are rules for cover in Star Drifter. So that kind of, you know, makes a difference. So we have this big firefight right there. And I'm counting all of the ammo that these guys take, you know, how much they're firing. At one point, one of these guys runs out of ammo, right? So that guy, at least for one full round towards the end of the fight, that guy's got nothing to do. He's just standing there like an idiot, right? Or he's hiding behind a barrel like an idiot, right? And ends up, he catches a bullet anyway, and he goes down. But the idea there is that it can make a difference, right? It can make a difference. The pirates don't have unlimited ammunition, right? Now, the player characters, it's assumed they all have at least 3 or 4 magazines for their prime weapon, right? Their primary firearm. And if that's the case, like, you know, if that's the case, they're, well, in their case, they made it through most of the fight, right? Most of the fight. And you know, I was all, I'll, you know, basically that goes, they win, right? And then they continue on, right? They continue on, they take the elevator up. Now the elevators aren't closed yet on this ship because the pirates haven't taken control yet. If the elevators were closed, it's going to take their computer guy a die roll to open the doors and to activate. So he'd have to open the door, you know. Oh, I wouldn't be a dick. He could open the door and close the door. If he can crack it to open it, he has control of the door at that point. But he'd then have to roll the die using his computer skill to activate the elevator and make it go, right? And I figure if he can make it go, he can make it stop. So, you know, and then another die roll. Well, he can open the door on that end. No, that's a different door. So he'd have to roll for opening the door on that end. So it becomes really problematic if everything gets locked down. But they made it before that happened. They get into the hallway, and I determined that the door to the bridge is closed and locked from the inside. That is physically locked from the inside. You know, that's a thing they can do. It's you know, the primary control space for the ship. So that would be something that could be secured. And that is locked from, you know, on the other side, even though they have, yet to crack the computer system, they have been able to bar that door. All right. I rolled for the number of pirates that are here. There were even more of them here, including a couple of tougher guys, right? Now, the number of pirates I have three types. I have average guys, some that have some skill, and some that are even more skilled. They're not the most skilled. The most skilled are inside trying to crack the computer, right? They haven't gotten there yet. So they left a bunch of guys outside. There were like 10 of them out there. There were nine. And they figure they're going to stand there looking tough, and they're going to scare off anybody. They knew the party was coming because the other guy, they fought the other guys, and those guys called it in, right? But there's really nowhere to hide in this hallway, right? Their job there is to be intimidating, spray down some bullets, and to get the player characters to move off. Well, these are player characters. I'm not going to roll dice for their nerve score. Nerve is, you know, whether or not you give up or run away or whatever, right? And that happened a couple of times in the first fight. In this fight, it was a bloodbath, right? Because there were two places for cover that were closer to the player characters than they were to the pirates. So the player characters took advantage of that. One of the player characters got shot up pretty bad, but he survived, right? He doesn't have a lot of armor, and I'm gonna have to fix that. But he survived. And he's our computer guy, right? But he survived. And he's going to have to hang back. He can't participate in this final fight because he's just going to get messed up. But they were able to take out everybody. I rolled dice on the nerve score. One guy failed it fairly early on. He took a big hit. And he just dropped to the ground. I rolled some dice. He just dropped to the ground and pretended he was dead. And I rolled dice later after the fight was done. Nobody noticed. So that guy lived. Everyone else in that hallway dies. Right, all of his compatriots die, but this guy lives. You know, he's gonna hang out until they're gone, until they get inside and then he's just gonna get up and leave. So they had a big old fight. Now this stuff took a long time. I sat down to do some testing. 3 hours later, I get up off the floor. I can barely move, you know, because I'm a fossil now, and I can, you know, if I sit in one position for too long, I can't move. So I was in pain. Oh man, it was rough getting up off the floor. I did not realize how much time had passed. So even though I was dead tired, and I was making some fatigue-related mistakes, mostly having to do with marking ammo and other stuff like that, right? Dude, are you moving? Is a truck moving a backhoe? No, it's an actual steam shovel or digger, whatever. I call them steam shovels because same form factor as the old days. But anyway, he's in front of me going slow. So anyway, yeah, those fights were pretty intense, and I was making fatigue-related mistakes, but overall, I caught most of them, and I was keeping track of time, right? So by this time, it's like midnight, right? And I got to get up and come here, right, in the morning. So it was I had to call it quits, but I made a note of where they were and who's on the other side of that door, how much time had passed, how much ammo they've used, how much damage they've taken, right? And if any healing had gone on. Do they take the time to do a little bit of healing? And they do. They did. They took the time to do a little bit of healing. And, you know, I marked all that off, and they were able to get in there. Now, one of the most annoying things that happened is that I lost one of my tokens. One of the tokens for one of these four player characters was missing. Last time I pulled it out, I must have, he didn't make it back to the box, and probably the cats took it and played with it. So that's gone. And I'm so annoyed. I never got my coin pocket thing that I wanted. Like, there, for coin collectors, there are these plastic sheets that have all these tiny little pockets for the coins that you get. Well, these would be perfect for my tokens. And I ordered one, I got the wrong thing, and I was annoyed, and I didn't follow up and get something that I could use. And, you know, so this is what happens. I'm disorganized, and you lose stuff when you're disorganized. So that was a lesson learned. That was a lesson learned. And I consider it an expensive lesson because I really like this character and his token. But if I can't find him, I've got to assign a different token to that character. And I have one. You know, I used one last night, and it sort of looks like the same guy, so we're going to go with that. But lesson learned, lesson learned. Anyway, it was a lot of fun. It was long. And if I film a long, extensive sequence of fights like that, it's going to have to be broken up into separate videos. So there might be like upwards of 3 videos that are going to cover an entire scenario. But the key here is that at least last night, for all of what I just described, the Star Drifter Ultimate Dungeon Terrain board worked perfectly. It worked perfectly. Just the way I was hoping. But the fight's not over, so we'll see. We'll see. Anyway, I guess that's it for today because I am at the clinic.